circling on Southbound Way, gorgeous like at Pikes Peak, Cheyenne Mountain. Go a little further south to get to New Mexico. That's where Lynn Bartles, I believe, hails from. She's a world-famous journalist who got into the government working as the press spokesman for Wayne Williams. Her name's Lynn Bartles. Welcome back to 710 KNUS. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Craig. Thanks for having me on.
Well, tell everybody about your background. Weren't you raised in New Mexico? And
no, I actually was raised in South Dakota.
Oh, my gosh.
The South daughter Dakota, of a Republican father and a Democratic mother, which proved to be great training years later when I covered the legislature. But I did work in New Mexico for 13 years before moving to Colorado in 1993 to cover cops for the Rocky Mountain News.
Boy, I remember that. What a year that was, the summer of violence. He picked quite a time to come to Colorado.
Yeah, I know, because, you know, it was me. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is amazing. I felt like I was going from homicide to homicide.
Yes, so did I. I was on homicide duty quite a few nights, and you'd get that call. And there were over 100 homicides here in Denver. Thank goodness that we don't have anything near like that. Have you ever thought about that when people say, oh, violent crime is bad? You say, whoa, think back to the early 90s. That was really when crime was bad.
Oh, I know. It was pretty unreal. You know, it was a strange thing because I felt, now it's so different because, you know, I know Denver, I love Denver. But back then I thought, oh, I've moved to some big inner city, you know, It was just a strange feeling, and I think it gave me a distorted view of the city for a while because, you know, all you're covering is crime.
Right.
It wasn't until I covered City Hall that I actually discovered more of the heart of the city, and then when I was assigned to the legislature, that's when I discovered state.
And then you became part of the government. Tell everybody about your transition and what it felt like now that you're in 2018 looking back.
Well, I will say that I took a buyout when the Post offered it. I accepted the job with the Secretary of State. It was the lowest offer I had, but it felt right. It was still politics, elections, government, the legislature, the governor, things that I was familiar with and things that I liked. But Amy Stevens, the former House Majority Leader, has reminded me that we had breakfast right before I started my job, and I was a nervous wreck, and I said, oh, my gosh, what have I done? This might be the biggest mistake of my life. And I remember asking, you know, Denver Post editor Greg Moore, if I don't like it, can I come back but keep the buyout money, you know? And it turned out I really liked it. I was surprised, you know? I really did like it.
Right, but you found various professions that go away. Rocky Mountain News went away. Journalism in general, not what it used to be. And then you hooked up with the Republican, Wayne Williams. And this midterm, every Republican got wiped out. How did that feel?
I was surprised on the county level. I was not surprised on the state level. In fact, I ran into somebody from the Denver Post yesterday who said, we were at the press club, and a couple months ago, you told me Wayne was going to lose, and I was like, no way. I mean, he's done such a great job. The Democratic lawmakers love him, and I go, that's the 700 people who know people. The rest of it is, and I told people, you know what this reminds me of? This climate reminds me of 2006, and I was covering Ed Perlmutter's race, and whenever he knocked on a door, the person who came to the door said, I don't care who you are. I'm not voting for you if you're a Republican. And this, take that to the 10th power this time. The hatred of Trump in the voter-heavy metro area. Three of the hottest state Senate races were in Jefferson County, and the hottest congressional race was in Arapahoe County. Well, those are crucial counties, and those are just brutal for Republicans.
Lynn, we're hearing every word, but we need to keep it clean as possible. I know you're in your car. I know you have an appointment, but try to find the best spot because we want to hear every word that you have to say.
Okay.
And I'm wondering what Wayne Williams and Dave Walcher and Matt Crane and maybe even Mike Kaufman, what they're thinking about the Republican Party. And I don't want you to speculate about those people, but what about you? I assume you're a Republican. Is that correct?
Well, here's what's funny is when Wayne hired me, he had no idea what my political, he had no idea what I was registered as. And I was registered as a Republican, although I will tell you that most of the time that I've been in Colorado, I have been a Democrat. And I've been unaffiliated at some point. So I'm much more person over party. I thought what was interesting is Matt Crane, who the amazing Arapahoe County clerk who got defeated, spoke the very next day after the election at the Arapahoe Men's Club, and he talked about the impact Trump had on the county, and someone stood up and said, this is all because Kaufman didn't embrace Trump. He should have embraced Trump. And, I mean, I don't know. When you have some people think that, we're even ahead.
But what are your thoughts? What would you, if you could have stood up at that breakfast meeting, I don't know, maybe you did. What would your retort be to somebody who said, all Mike Kaufman had to do was embrace Donald Trump and he would have won?
Well, this is what I love about Wayne Williams. 2016 election, the Monday before the election, I walked into the office and I said, and I kept saying, I'm not voting for either Hillary or Trump. I just don't like either of them. And I walked in and I said to him, I'm going to be honest with you. I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Well, there you go. And, now you've just told the world.
And the election's over. I can say that. Most people know I never vote, you know, party or anything. But there were just some things that just, you know, for me, the hardest thing with Trump is the fact that any small business he had ever hired, he never paid him.
He paid some people, but a number of people
he did not.
Right.
The other problem that bothered me about Trump is he came to Colorado in October, and on a Saturday and a Sunday in mid-October, he talked about the elections being rigged. You know, and at that time, everybody thought he was going to lose, and I think he was laying the framework. Well, when I lose, I can say the elections are rigged. And I was just so incensed by it that I gave a statement to the media that said, Donald Trump has been tweeting about elections being rigged, but he offers no evidence of such. I can say on Twitter I'm a supermodel, but that doesn't make it so.
Right. And you worked in the office that was in charge of the elections. And so I think Colorado has the ninth most Hispanic population and our fair share of illegal immigrants. One more time, is there funny business going on in Colorado voting? Were all the Republican losses this time the result of a bunch of illegal people voting?
No, and I will tell you this. If our elections can be rigged, how come Bernie Busher didn't win re-election to Secretary of State in 2010? How come in 2014, Scott Gessler, the current Secretary of State, came in third in the primary for governor? I mean, how come Wayne Williams and a number of Republican clerks lost their elections? It's because the elections here are fair. Is there an occasional case of voter fraud? Yes, and we discover it. We turn it over to a district attorney.
Right, but there aren't many cases that are referred. Probably less than 10 during the time you've been there, or you tell me.
I don't have the number with me, but it is not, when you say thousands and thousands, it's not true. I mean, every case is important. I mean, you look at some of these elections this year, you had a couple of races, less than 10 votes or something, or, you know, in the primary, there was a county commissioner's race in Albert County decided by 2 votes.
Right.
And we had some tie votes in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
We might remember that in Tallahassee County, they saw theirs with a high card draw, which is appropriate for that county.
Well, what do you think's going on with the media and misinformation and how that might have affected the midterms? Where do people go for news? And what have you seen in the news industry that for decades you were such a part of?
Well, I will say this. I still love journalism and I love journalists and the Colorado Press Corps is amazing. when I've gone to conferences with national secretaries, other, you know, the national secretary of state, other secretaries complain about their press corps. We think we have a fabulous press corps. When you talk about information, misinformation, there was a guy who put out a report in mid-October that said Colorado purges had 700, almost 800,000 voters on the eve of the midterm. And first of all, the word purged is like immediate. Over a decade, we have taken off the polls the names of people who have died or who have moved, that sort of thing. We have people listed as inactive voters because they haven't voted in recent elections, but they're still a registered voter. And this was out there, and it was retweeted like the first day, like in Colorado, like 358 times. You sort of check if you lose on this list because Wayne Williams purged your record. Well, none of this was true, and luckily for us, Kyle Clark, next with Nine News, and Marianne Goodwin with Colorado Politics went after this with a vengeance. In other states, they're still dealing with the aftermath of this because there wasn't credible journalists looking at this and saying this is ridiculous. But for even with them debunking it, you still have all these people. I mean, when Wayne lost, it's fine if you said, I supported Jenna Griswold. I didn't want Wayne in there. That's the American way. You pick your choice. But you have people saying, I'm so glad that Wayne Williams is gone. Now the voter suppression can end. Voter suppression? We ranked in the top five in turnout in like the last five elections. We have the highest number of registered voters in the nation. As Wayne always says, if I'm doing voter suppression, I'm doing a really lousy job of it.
So what is the reaction of Wayne Williams, or more specifically, you? Are you going to keep an R after your name? And what about Wayne Williams? What does Dave Walter do? What about Matt Crane? How can they be loyal Republicans given that Donald Trump is the head of the party? And I have to think they're discouraged by Donald Trump right now. Why don't you just speak for yourself?
I will tell you this about Wayne and Donald Trump. Wayne said at one point, I never dreamt that when it came time to elect a president that I would have to vote for my last choice. Because remember, there were like 17 people running or something. And Donald Trump was his last choice. He was a Marco Rubio person to start with. Then I think maybe it was Scott Walker, and then you remember people dropped out. Then it was Ted Cruz, and then you're left with Trump. And he says he has no regrets voting for Trump. Like, I have no regrets voting for Hillary Clinton. What he says about Trump is, what matters to me is the Supreme Court, and that's why I voted that way. And he wouldn't change his vote for anything.
But the thing that gets me, I have a lot of radio colleagues, and I can count on one hand the people who were initially for Donald Trump, including my producer, Kirk Woodland. But a lot of other people were for Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz. And I even heard some of my radio colleagues at the time saying, Donald Trump is my last choice among the 17, words similar to what Wayne Williams said. But a lot of these people now worship at the altar of Donald Trump. He's gone from the last in the 17-person race to number one in their hearts. And God forbid you say anything bad about him, because don't you know Donald Trump demands total loyalty? I mean, have you observed that phenomenon, and what do you make of it?
I've observed it, and I am confused by it. And some of my favorite Republicans, some of the smartest Republicans I know, will say, I'm liking this president. I think he's doing a good job. And I'm like, that's their opinion. I do know that right after the 2016 election, Channel 9 interviewed Wayne, and they asked him, what do you think of somebody who wins the election and still claims there was voter fraud? And, you know, Wayne has that huge laugh that's amazing. And he let out that huge laugh. Well, Channel 9 ran that clip, I think it was during a Broncos game or something. It ran all Sunday, and there were Republicans really mad that Wayne was laughing and criticizing. It was a criticism of Trump that it wasn't exactly a criticism, but that laugh said it all. Wayne doesn't really criticize people, R or D. I mean, I will tell you that we've had some clips with some issues, and you don't read about it because Wayne is like, we accentuate the positive. Let's work with them and make them better.
Does Donald Trump have any chance of winning Colorado in 2020?
No.
And what should Cory Gardner do? He had a chance to break with Trump over at Saudi Arabia, but he did not do that this week. But what is there any path? Is there any path? You were surprised by that? Or not?
Yeah, I was surprised that he didn't break. But, let's be honest here, and your listeners probably know this if they know anything about me. I believe that we have the two best U.S. senators in the country, in Michael Bennett and Cory Gardner. And what frustrates me, listeners probably know this if they know anything about me. I believe that we have the two best.
Is there any path?
By that.
Is there in Colorado in 2020?
No.
And what should Cory Gardner do? He had a chance to break with Trump over at Saudi Arabia, but he did not do that this week. But what is there any path? Is there any path? You were surprised by that? Or not?
Yeah, I was surprised that he didn't break. But, let's be honest here, and your listeners probably know this if they know anything about me. I believe that we have the two best U.S. senators in the country, in Michael Bennett and Cory Gardner. And what frustrates me is the criticism of both of them for working together.
Well, how can Cory Gardner keep his job in 2020? Do you see any path to victory for him?
Well, I will say this. He's probably going to have one of the best campaign managers, Chris Hansen, who was his campaign manager last time. Chris Hansen just ran the program to get senators elected across the country. And he and Corey and some other staffers gave a slideshow at the Brown Palace about a month before the election. On here's a look at the races around the country, the Senate races. Their prediction is that they would lose Nevada and Arizona. They were dead on that. And the most interesting thing is the slideshow started with all the headlines saying, is the Republican Party done? And it happened in 2008, and it was just every year, is the Republican Party over? I think it bounces back. I think in Colorado, when you have all these voters in the metro area, and you saw the Arapaho, Arapaho was stunning. You know, I don't know how Cory does it. Clearly, the anti-Cory. Cory could cure cancer tomorrow. And you would have the same people just attacking him or going to his house and disturbing him. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch for the next 2 years. Somebody told me, who do you think will be the person, the Democrat running against him? And I said, if the climate is like it is today, it won't matter who it is.
I agree with that. Colorado has become blue. Patty Calhoun had a great line last night.
Colorado has not become blue.
You don't think so?
No. If Colorado were truly blue, why did some of these tax measures fail?
Because we're conservative on money issues.
Right. But I don't think it makes us necessarily. We are much more blue. You have to remember, this is the state that went for Bob Dole. We didn't even vote for Clinton in his reelection.
Right.
The National League never came here when I was first covering politics. We were such a flyover state. Then all of a sudden, we came into play and people came here. Of course, I always think part of it is you have these East Coast reporters and it's summer and it's miserable. And they're like, oh, there's something really interesting in Colorado. I must go out and see it this summer so they can go to a great state with great weather and get away from it. But I'm not even sure that Trump will put in a lot of money here because it'll be viewed as it's so, Hillary. And here's another good thing when you talk about elections and misinformation and Wayne Williams. In the 2016 race, Alan Salazar, was Hillary's state person. He's now the state chief of staff for Hancock. He used to work for Hickenlooper. And he told me at one point, when they have their weekly phone call with the lawyers and all that, they said, we don't have to worry about Colorado. However Colorado votes is how the results will be. There'll be no shenanigans in Colorado. And that's another thing. Here's the hard thing about this blue wave. This blue wave was so deep in Colorado, it took out the best Secretary of State in the country. The Washington Post says that, and Fox News says that. they don't always agree on a lot of things.
And what percentage of the blame do you put on Donald Trump?
I put a lot of the blame on him. But, so let me go back to something Dick Wadhams told me that was really interesting. During the 2012 presidential election, Dick Wadhams told me, if Obama wins re-election, then Mark Udall wins re-election. Mark Udall loses. If Romney wins election, Udall wins. And the same with the presidential. If Hillary Clinton were president, Wayne, I believe, would still be our Secretary of State. Matt Crane would still be,
clerk and reporter in Arapahoe County.
I'm not sure about the governor because that's a different animal in the state, and I'm not sure how you counter $23 million of your own money.
So what happens next? What do you predict for Donald Trump? You've been following the Mueller investigation. Where do you think that's going to go?
Craig, you know me. I'm far more local.
All right. Well, then let's keep it very local. What about you? Okay. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I don't know yet. I really don't know what I'm going to be doing. I figure that I will figure it out in the next month or so, and we'll see what goes from there. I have immediately, like the day after the election, the Gazette, their Colorado Politics, called me 3 times in one day. In fact, I was on the phone with Cory Gardner. He called to say, are you okay? And I said, it would be different if I didn't expect this, but I have been predicting it for so long. And he goes, do you have to get that? He kept hearing my phone ring. And I go, no, it's just the Gazette. They keep calling about wanting me to go back to journalism. And he goes, you should. You know, I'm not.
Well, keep us posted, Lynn. It's good to talk to you, and have a good breakfast.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. That's Lynn Bartles.